The federal government will announce a new visa scheme for Southeast Asian farm workers today in a bid to counter a shortage of fruit pickers caused first by COVID restrictions and now by the free trade deal with the United Kingdom. Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his British counterpart Boris Johnson signed the historic free trade agreement yesterday, the first major bilateral trade deal done by the UK since Brexit.
This will be good news for British car manufacturers, it'll be good news for British services, for British financial services, and it'll be good news for, I hope, for agricultural sector on both sides.
That's the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Under this FTA, British backpackers wanting to extend a stay in Australia will no longer have to spend some months working on farms, but there will be a new visa class for British agriculture workers. Tariffs on Australian beef and lamb exports will be lifted, but it's going to be a 10-year transition, and then there'll be caps on tariff-free exports remaining in place. David Littleproud is the Federal Agriculture Minister. David Littleproud, welcome back to Breakfast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Fran.
Minister, Britain needed this free trade deal more than us. It's their first trade deal done since Brexit, so Boris Johnson had plenty to prove and precedents to set. Have we driven a hard enough bargain?
Oh, I think so. We've got the balance right. We've opened up another free trade agreement, number 15, that allows our agricultural exporters to send boats left and right if we have trouble up the middle, and we've proven we've done that. And this just gives our farmers another string to their bow, and particularly when you look at beef, sheep, sugar, dairy, they've all been winners out of this.
Well, winners, but not at a fast pace. I mean, under the deal on Australian lamb, for instance, tariffs are very high at the moment. They will come down, but it's over 10 years. We're not rushing this.
No, well, we've got an immediate increase in our quotas. So for beef, we're going from under 5,000 tonne to 35,000 tonne overnight. And for sheep, from just over 15,000 to 25,000. And then that'll go up on a linear scale. Beef gets up to around, I think, 175,000 tonnes and 125,000 for sheep. So
beef gets up to 110,000 tonnes, I think, and 75,000 tonnes.
In 110,000 over 10 years, but yep, the beef get to 175 over the 15. But that's not different to any other free trade agreement that we've struck. That always takes time for this transition. While we'd like it to be quicker, you've got to strike that balance and understand we're opening up this market. And in fact, when you're getting a significant increase in quotas, tariff-free quotas, straight up, straight off the bat, that's real dollars straight into farmers' pockets.
And so Australian beef and lamb producers are ready to fill that immediate gap. That's, what, an extra 25 tonne of beef, I think you just told us, straight away. It's there, ready to go?
Oh, totally. And I think we've got to also be honest about this, that most of our agricultural exports still go to our ASEAN family and to Asia. And that'll continue to happen because of the proximity and the premium they're paying. But what this does is allow our exporters to look at new markets and be able to fill those. And I know of some producers personally up in central Queensland that are championing the bit to have a crack at that beef quota. They've already sent in it and they've been limited. This will give them increased capacity. In fact, they're already investing in a new abattoir. Such is the confidence that they're having, and this will then just give them another string to the bow, an investment in regional Australia that's going to create jobs here.
We are making a big song and dance about this, though, but as you say, I mean, it's kind of the trade with the UK is minuscule and will remain minuscule in comparison to with our ASEAN neighbours and particularly China. How far will this deal go in addressing the gap left by the China bans?
Well, I think we've got to put that in perspective. Trade still continued to flourish despite the real challenge with wine and timber. Our beef exports have continued to go up. And in fact, last year we did our quota under the China Free Trade Agreement in June when we normally do it in October, November every year. So the demand is still strong. While wine, it was very disappointing, and we're working through the industry whether we go to the WTO or not. And barley, we were able to find new markets. So I think you just got to put in perspective, while there has been some challenges with China, trade's still strong there, but so too is the rest of our ASEAN family, particularly Vietnam, a very strong and reliable trading partner for us, and now also Indonesia with the free trade agreement we signed July last year. So the free trade agreements are starting to rack up, okay, and they're starting to also flow through to the farm gate.
Let's go to visas now. UK travellers coming to Australia on 12-month working visas will no longer be forced to work in agriculture if they want to extend their stay. You've already calculated that would mean a loss of about 10,000 seasonal workers. Is that a fair price to pay for tariff-free exports?
Well, it was the line in the sand that we couldn't cross unless there was compensation. And myself and the rest of the National Party made it very clear that if we were to go and sign off on this agreement, we had to have a mechanism that would fill that void, but also build greater capacity, because we've seen the world change with COVID-19. Unfortunately, Australians can't be incentivised to go and have a crack at these jobs. We've got to just be up and honest about that. And so the reality is we're going to have to continue to rely on overseas labour. And so one of the concessions that the Prime Minister was able to negotiate with myself and Michael McCormack was that we were to have an agricultural visa that to be extended to our ASEAN family to be able to give them the opportunity to come and fill that void.
So that's an agriculture visa for ASEAN countries?
A seasonal agricultural workforce visa that will start off with our ASEAN families, and that will be in addition to the Pacific and seasonal worker programs. That is a flagship program. We've got 25,000.
Why didn't we just extend that one? Why have we developed a new one for ASEAN countries?
There's different conditions. Obviously, being part of the Pacific family, we were very careful to make sure that they had extra conditions and protections laid on them. This is simply really an extension of the working holiday maker, the new visa. And so we'll obviously be working to make sure that those countries, those 10 ASEAN countries, have confidence in being allowed their people to come. They have to sign in. We're not just forcing them. We can't force them. So we'll be reaching out to those ASEAN countries and making this visa available to their workers.
So just to be clear, are you saying that if this is for like an Indonesian tourist who wants to come here and extend their stay, they'd have to do this? Is it the same deal as it was for the British, or is it a particular agricultural visa?
It's a specific agricultural visa. So effectively what they'll have is a visa for 3 years, and they'll be able to work up to 9 months. They'll have to go home for 3 months, and basically they'll be able to work here on the proviso they're in agriculture. It's specifically designed for agriculture. We've got a significant shortage, and it's the biggest constraint that we've got on agriculture at the moment.
How many people would come in under this visa?
Well, that'll be determined by which countries sign up to it, and obviously we'll now work with that.
Well, we must have a target, do we?
Well, obviously well above 10,000.
Right.
That's the baseline that we've been working on. And there's no reason why we won't achieve that. In fact, there's been many discussions through embassies and high commissions already around the potential and the opportunity that Australia can provide to many of these country's citizens for reliable work.
What are the optics of this? That, you know, farm work is beneath British citizens. Australians don't want to do it, won't do it. So we're offering to others. What does that say about the conditions?
Well, the conditions are award up to the award, and anyone that doesn't needs to be found out and weeded out. They're a cancer. And I don't think it's fair to generalise that Australian farmers don't pay fair rates. They pay the fair rates. Now, in an industry, there's always individuals that cut corners, and what we need to do is cut those people out of the industry. So I think it's dangerous where you've got unions running around and generalising and demonising farmers broadly when that's not the case. There are, industry, individuals that do the wrong thing.
There are spectacular cases of that, Minister, you have to admit.
Well, there are cases that have to be fixed, and that is what we are working, not only at a federal level, but working with the states. I've got to say the states have put their hand up to work with us as well, because there's some joint responsibility, and we're working hand in hand to make sure we can fix this, to give confidence to those workers and to the consumer.
Just finally, Minister, on the matter of the Murrahupin family, the otherwise known as the Biliwilla family, here we are discussing the need for workers to travel to regional Australia, and we have a family who has lived and worked in Biliwilla. Biliwilla, a regional town, wants them to live and work there. They have a need for abattoir workers, and yet we won't allow them to stay. Why?
Well, because there's the laws of the land, and at the moment...
Which have built in them the capacity for ministerial discretion.
But that they have gone through a judicial process that they have been found not to live up to the laws of this land. They are not above the law of the land like anyone else that resides in this country. The law of the land is what has kept, the rule of law has kept this country safe. That is what has kept our society to be one of the best societies in the world. Now, whether there's conjecture about the fairness and compassion of that, well and good, but our primary responsibility is to keep our borders safe and our people safe. And if you do not adhere to those laws, then unfortunately we cannot make exceptions.
Well,
you cannot have public opinion and the mob decide what the law of the land is. That is a dangerous precedent in which to set.
Okay.
There is a judicial process underway, and everyone should respect it and respect the judicial outcome.
Agriculture Minister David Littleproud, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Fran.
David Littleproud.